With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live and local.
The Three Amigos.
This is the Three Amigos with Rudy Ortiz, Brandon Santiago, and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game. Now, here they are, the Three Amigos.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
We got no amigos here.
Uno amigo?
Nada amigo.
Dos amigos?
We've got two of something, but the Three Amigos... on a vacacion.
Oh, well played.
Apparently.
I took French, by the way, officially, and so I
did
had
you
to...
really?
Yeah, I did. What a waste. Where was the parents?
My sister was a French major in college.
Which is cute in the 70s and the 80s, but skip ahead to 2010 when everyone's speaking Espanol, and the French does you no good. So I had to ask my daddy, Big Daddy, Victor Zaragoza. I said, if Steiny and I don't really like each other, what would that make us? And he said, you got to go with dos enemigos.
And amigos.
So there we are, the two enemies. Yes. Dos enemigos in for the tres amigos.
I like it. Matt Steinmetz along with Dan Dibley. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. Hey, if you don't have anything to do, ring us up at 888-957-9570. And you know the text line is always, always open at 95795. We're going to be talking sports, having some fun today. The Seahawks are up 6-0 in that ball game.
I don't know. Minnesota's up 6-0.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Another thrilling, high-scoring affair here in the NFL, Steiny. What's happened to the points in the playoffs?
That's a good question. That afternoon game, the one later in Washington, what's the weather in D.C. right now? I hear it's pretty cold, so that may be a low-scoring game either. What'd you think of the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game? That was the game of the weekend so far.
It was an old-school 1960s ballroom brawl. It was a brouhaha, and it was an embarrassment for the NFL on so many levels, Steiny. A game that looked to be one-sided became close and compelling. The Bengals came back from down 15-0 to take the lead, only to self-destruct with two 15-yard penalties on the same play, setting up the game-winning field goal. Very compelling game, but just a wild hootenanny of a ball game.
What's your gripe about that game? Did you? It sounds like you had a little problem with the officiating.
Not so much the officiating.
The way the game was played?
Just the way the game was conducted. And I think the way the officials could be criticized is how they handled some of these personal fouls and how they didn't handle what I felt like should have been ejections for, obviously, Joey Porter, the assistant coach.
What's he doing out there?
Well, everyone was out there.
True.
That game devolved into nothing more than like a WCW come off the top rope brawl. There was cheap shots. There was late hits. 15-yard flags on both sides. It, unfortunately, took away from what was a very good competitive ball game.
Only thing missing was probably Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Coming off the top rope.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think who else used to come off the top rope before him way back in the day. I can't remember right now. Also, what's going on is Hugh Jackson apparently wrapped up a 5-hour interview with the San Francisco 49ers today in Cincinnati. And he could be the 49ers coach by the end of the day.
It's wild. The way this whole thing has played out for Hugh over the last, say, 24 hours, where they go from being on the precipice of advancing in the playoffs to being out. And now he has to conduct 3 interviews today, I believe. So I wonder what he's going to have left at the end of the day. That's a pretty long 48 hours.
He's a very energetic guy, though. So
no
he had
doubt.
The 49ers for 5 hours. Now he's going to meet with the Browns. And then the wild card, apparently, is whether the Cincinnati Bengals are going to fire Marvin Lewis and hire Hugh Jackson, or at least offer the job to Hugh Jackson. So it looks like Hugh Jackson may have a choice of at least 2 jobs, maybe 3.
And that's a wild, wild card. I cannot imagine the Bengals would fire Marvin Lewis. He did a lot, and he hasn't gotten to that next level. I understand that. But he got his team to the playoffs, and they nearly pulled off the victory with his backup quarterback. He had A.J. McCarron as his starting quarterback yesterday, and he still nearly beat Pittsburgh. And if it wasn't for a couple of boneheaded plays, they probably would have won that game.
Did McCarron end up marrying the gal from Alabama that Brent Musburger was fans of?
Yes, I believe he did. They're at least engaged. Oh, no. They are married, and she's with child. That's what the development was.
Okay, so they got action for sure.
So AJJ, AJ Jr., or AJ Pot Deux is currently marinating inside right now.
Matt Steinmetz and Dan Dibley here on a Sunday afternoon. You want to jump in? I want to ask you this. Do you think Hugh Jackson, is he the guy you want to coach the 49ers? 888-957-9570. Hey, you want to talk about something else? You can call in and talk about something else. It was a no-pants Bart day today. People are riding Bart with no pants on. Apparently, it's a once-a-year thing. I don't know anything about it, but if somebody out there does know when this tradition started, I'm all ears.
And how it started. Well, this is an area known for its nudity, and you know that.
And I'm just a little more humble than that. I got more humility. I got no interest in people seeing me without any clothes.
To that point, have you ever even used your lovely outdoor shower that you have?
Used it a few years ago, yeah. But I didn't use it. I only used it like once or twice last year.
But you weren't au naturel in the outdoor shower.
Well, nobody can see you. It's concealed. They can see your head above the
right,
shower.
Right, but to my point, you probably had your drawers on or something in there just because you are a humble guy.
Oh, no. What is that?
That's the phone that's ringing in front of you. Well,
that can't be ringing like that. I've never heard the phone ring like that. And we got people up and at them. Woo, we got issues early. I've never heard that phone ring. Interesting. Now you hear a dial tone. Oh, we are off and running on a Sunday. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're off and running on a Sunday. Matt Steinmetz and Dan Dibley.
This is where, like a radio veteran, Steiny would at this point mention who the producer is, thereby throwing him under the bus.
You know what?
But I know you're not that way.
You know what? I did that once on TV when I was early in my TV career, and I didn't know better. I was supposed to describe something that they were showing as B-roll, and it wasn't the right one. And I was like, that's not the right thing that we're supposed to be seeing right now. And my boy Michael Sachs, who I love, afterwards, like, hey, killing me, mentioned the producer making a mistake. You got to just go with it. And I was like, yeah, I guess you got to.
TV, you go with it. Radio, you crush the kid. And that's A-Ron back there responsible for that obtrusive dial tone.
Interestingly, you're throwing him under the bus and you just met him, 15 minutes ago?
I had previously met him, but had I just met him, absolutely he goes under. He goes under easier if I had just met him. Right by the lapels.
You want to take a call or you want to wait?
Let's get right to the caller, Steiny.
All right, we're going to go to Raider G in San Jose. What's up, Raider G?
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Oh, dynamite.
All right. First and foremost, hey, Dibs, good to hear you back on the radio. I used to listen to you back in the day before you kind of got into the MLS world there. And so it's kind of refreshing to hear you back on the mic, so I just wanted to give a little bit of props there. Secondly, just on the Hugh Jackson situation. So, you know, I'm a diehard Raider fan. I'm also a 49ers season ticket holder. My wife likes the Niners. Nevertheless, when Hugh Jackson was with the Raiders, just a great, great head coach. I really thought that he had the club moving in the right direction. And really, frankly, if it wasn't for maybe some of the pride with Mark Davis trying to put his stamp on, you know, on the heels of his father passing, you know, I think the Raiders could even be maybe a couple steps further with Hugh Jackson and the team. The thing about you, you know, and when I wrap this up here, is that he's just a masterful play caller, and he understands personnel. That's the difference. There's a lot of guys out there that can call plays, but do they truly understand their own personnel and how to dissect defenses and put, you know, players and their skill set in the right position to make a play? That's what Hugh Jackson does. I think that would be great for the 49ers. Just to have a coach in there that can understand what they have, put him in the right place. And last thing, real quick, I don't know if you guys know this, but Hugh Jackson and Al Davis were huge Kaepernick fans. As a matter of fact, Al was pissed when the Niners picked him up. That's how bad he wanted him. So I think Hugh Jackson being a fan of Kaepernick hit on the fence as to what to do with him, and they want maybe want to roll with him one more year, potentially, that this is a perfect head coach for them.
Thanks, Raider G. Appreciate that.
For the call. Here's my question, Dibs. Do the 49ers have enough playmakers, though, to make Hugh Jackson look like an offensive genius?
This project down in Santa Clara is not turnkey, so he's not going to come in and have immediately A.J. Green and two good running backs in Hill and Giovanni Bernard. They're going to have to develop some weapons. Anquan Boldin is still a potentially good receiver. Torrey Smith can still help you. The tight end's been up and down.
How many passes did he catch, Torrey Smith? I got to believe less than 20.
No, I had it closer to 40 all told. But
16, 30, so he, about 2.5 a game?
Roughly. And there's times when they couldn't target him. I would guess 40. And again, a real producer, I'm just kidding. Now that would be on me to
know
that.
I'll tell you what, you got him to look up from the computer for the first time all show.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Interesting point by Raider G, though, Steiny. And I think this is going to be the most compelling thing today, tomorrow, Monday, as this coaching search gets solved. You'll know how the organization feels about Colin Kaepernick based on who they hire. If they hire Hugh Jackson to be the head coach of the 49ers, that gives you a strong indication that Colin Kaepernick will be staying, unless Hugh has changed his tune about how good Colin can be.
Well, I think you're right on the money right there. And I think that the one thing that I thought was a little misleading is people thinking that the 49ers job was not an attractive job, that certain candidates would turn it down because they'd have to work with Jed York and Balky. I don't think that's the case in any sport. There's only 32 openings. You get one opening, you can find a quality candidate. That's the way I feel. All right, well, listen, we'll get right back at you. Dan Dibley, Matt Stein, that's 95.7 The Game. We'll be right back. Let this play for a minute.
Nothing says Steiny and Dibs like this tune. I heard this at your house last week.
Yeah, I have my collection. Matt Stein, Mets Dan Dibley filling in for the Three Amigos. So if you're waiting for the Three Amigos, you're going to have to wait till next weekend.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
You're a French guy?
Took French, yeah, regrettably.
4 years in high school?
Actually, 2 years. I got skipped from French 1 straight to French 3, and so my requirement was thus met after sophomore year.
In college or high school?
High school.
Did you advance that at all in college?
No, in college I didn't have to take a foreign language somehow.
Can you speak any French today?
Not really. I can understand some, but it's more just looking at the expressions and the gestures, which 90% of them are a look of disgust.
My sister was a French major. She wanted to be a translator at the United Nations. Dreams die hard, Dibs.
That's a tough job to get.
It is.
It's not like they have 5,000 of those. You know, there's like 8 people, right?
You know, whatever they speak in Kazakhstan, you know, if you're that major, you probably got a better chance, I would think.
That's a good
point. Or Cameroon, whatever they're speaking in Cameroon. I hear from the text line, did you see Hugh Jackson's 2-point call yesterday? It was terrible. No Hugh for the 49ers. That was a bad call in that 2-point conversion. But Hugh Jackson still considered one of the best minds. Matt Maiocco from CSN Bay Area reporting that the 5-hour meeting between Hugh Jackson and the 49ers went well. So he's now interviewing with the Cleveland Browns, and I assume that the Cincinnati Bengals will either come in with an offer or not. But don't you think they would have fired Marvin Lewis by now?
Well, probably not by now. The dust is still settling. That was a late game last night.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is if they have any hope of wanting Hugh Jackson, they would know that they'd have to move fast on Lewis. So maybe they don't. I think you're right. I don't think Marvin Lewis is going anywhere.
And maybe not that fast. I mean, keep in mind, that game ended about 15 hours ago.
True.
The Bengals defeat. So Hugh wakes up today. He's got a 5-hour interview with one team. He's got an interview with another. So this whole day will go by, I think, without Hugh Jackson making a decision. Even if the 49ers made an offer, and even if the Browns make an offer, the Bengals, I don't think, would have a decision on Marvin Lewis, at least through the day. You'd have to figure come Monday they might have an idea. And additionally, if Hugh Jackson was offered one of these jobs, you would think he would go back to Cincinnati to his bosses and say, look, either Cleveland or San Francisco, they've offered me a job. You know, what's the situation here? If there's any question at all about Marvin Lewis.
You got to want the San Francisco job, even over the Cincinnati Bengals.
No,
I would think so. You want to be in San Francisco, the Bay Area.
I don't think it's about location.
Don't you really?
If Hugh Jackson had his choice of jobs, Cincinnati, San Francisco, or Cleveland, clearly Cleveland's the worst of the three.
Right.
Based on roster, Cincinnati's a team that they should be a team that should contend for an AFC championship. This year, having no quarterback hurt them. And I think the roster needs... They need a personality change, or they need some sort of leadership change, because what took place yesterday, the way they lost that game, is unacceptable.
True, but you could also say they're playing without their starting quarterback.
Yeah, but the defense is what ultimately cost them. Those penalties late on that final drive, that was the game-changing sequence.
You know what? The officiating in the NFL, to me, is just, I don't want to say it's awful, but it's just too important. And if you want to weigh in, go ahead, 888-957-9570. Of all the sports, officiating in the NFL, to me, is the most bothersome. And the reason is a team will have a play, they'll get 40 yards on a pass over the middle, and what's the next thing you have to do? You have to wait 5 or 10 seconds to look over the field, to see if there's a flag, to wait to hear if the officials are going to rule that it's an okay play or not. You can take away touchdowns. You can call 50-yard pass interference penalties in the end zone that get a team from midfield down to the 2. You know, in the NBA, yeah, you make some calls. It's a bucket here, a bucket there. Even in baseball, you miss a play at home plate. It's a run or two. Man, you're taking big points off the board. You know, a third down penalty can change a game.
Yeah. And like you say, pass interference is a penalty that can definitely change a game. I want to separate for you and with you officials from the rule book, because what I hear you say is that the rule book needs help. Let's put aside the question of the officials, because I think we can all as football fans agree that the officiating needs to be better. But before we change the officiating, we need to change the rule book, because you don't know what a catch is anymore in the NFL. Pass interference is far, far too punitive to the defensive team. You throw one up deep, and there's a flag, and like you say, it's a 50-yard penalty, and it can be a game-changing flag. So beyond changing pass interference, and maybe you dial it back to what the college rule is, which is 15 yards, maximum 15 yards on PI. You fix the rule book first, then I'd be willing to go and talk about how we need to make the refs better.
More important than that, this from the 408, apparently they speak French in Cameroon.
Incredible.
I didn't know that.
Your sister's got hope then. They've got hope. I know they speak French in a number of African countries.
Do they?
Based on the colonization sensation, Tim Roy would say if he was a history teacher.
Your wife's been to Africa, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. She's been to Senegal. Okay. I don't think she went to the Gambia, but she went to Senegal.
And Africa's much bigger than the United States.
I'd have to bring in Quest, my 14-year-old son, for that, the geography expert, but I believe that is true.
I think Africa's pretty big place. Like, you can get lost in the middle of Africa.
Especially without a map.
If you're stuck in the middle of Africa, I mean, I don't think there's an ocean maybe 3-4 days walk away.
You know,
actually, no, 3-4 month walk away.
It depends on how fast you walk, but you can go from Chad to the Sudan to Niger and have no idea how far it is to the Atlantic, the Mediterranean.
Senegal. What's the capital of Senegal?
Dakar.
Gotcha. The woman who cuts my hair is from Ethiopia, and she goes back every 2 years and tells me about it. I think it's Addis Ababa.
Yeah, Addis Ababa.
Ababa, yeah, that's interesting. Matt Steinmetz and Dan Dibley with you on a Sunday afternoon, 888-957-9570. How long does it take to walk from the middle of Africa to one of those oceans? I guess it's what, the Indian on one side, the Atlantic on the other?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell you what, I would not mind some calls on Africa at all, because I like to learn about other peoples. I'm an expert on the Inuits.
Sure.
Have you ever been off the
continent of North America?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Ireland.
Oh, that's right. And you went to Italy to see the family in the old country. That's right.
That's about it.
No Asia for you yet?
Would Tahiti count?
As Asia?
No, as off the United States or whatever.
Of course. I don't think Tahiti's in North America, as I show my continental naivete.
I think it's near, I mean, it's within the proximity of Hawaii, I believe, right? Tahiti and Moorea.
Just one phone line open for geography talk here on 95.7 yeah, the Globe.
We're going to clear the lines in a minute. You know, one thing I want to, you brought this up about Hugh Jackson and Kaepernick. You said that if the 49ers hire Hugh Jackson, Kaepernick's back in the picture.
I think so. And I think there's a disparate amount of opinion between what you think of Colin Kaepernick. Some think that he can still be salvaged. He's this unbelievable athlete, a physical specimen who can rocket the ball and run away from defenders. And other football people see him as a guy who cannot conceive enough about defense to make plays, and his career is on the downside. And I think that ultimately the coaching hire, will show you what the 49ers brain trust thinks about Kaepernick.
John Gruden yesterday was doing the Kansas City Chiefs game, and afterwards he said, I wonder what the people in San Francisco are thinking about Alex Smith now. And I did get to thinking, was there a mistake made? I mean, there was a mistake made, wasn't there? And it was made by Jim Harbaugh. I mean, everybody at the time thought Kaepernick was the man, right? I mean, I had to be running 90% to 10% the people that said it's time to replace Alex Smith with Kaepernick. And now here we are 3 or 4 years later, and we're wondering if Kaepernick can even play in the NFL. They should have stuck with Alex Smith. I thought Kaepernick was the man, but I was wrong. And you know what? Put me in Jim Harbaugh's class. He was wrong, too. Was he wrong? Was he wrong about Kaepernick?
I don't think so.
The all-knowing football coach.
Jim Harbaugh and Colin Kaepernick went to the Super Bowl to take on John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think Alex Smith would have been able to get that team to the Super Bowl. And until Alex Smith gets this team to the Super Bowl, and by the way, they're a boutique pick to win the AFC, and this is before they beat Houston, the AFC is fairly wide open. You've got and you've got Peyton Manning, question marks about Peyton Manning in Denver. Kansas City could win this AFC. If he goes to the Super Bowl, then maybe there's a discussion about did the Niners make a mistake. But as of now, Kaepernick got you to the Super Bowl. You can't dismiss that when looking at his current condition as a quarterback in the NFL.
888-957-9570. Is the verdict out? Alex Smith advancing in the playoffs. Colin Kaepernick's a quarterback that some people think he's done, that he's been figured out. The 49ers hire Hugh Jackson. Can he turn things around? You're listening to 95.7 The Game. 8-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0-1-8-0- in for the Three Amigos. The Seattle Seahawks have stormed back. They now lead 10-9 over the Minnesota Vikings, and it's a little bit chilly, apparently, in Minneapolis.
It's fine. Put a sweater on. Let's go.
See the one guy without a shirt?
It's -7, Steiny. My heat doesn't work in my living room, so it's been like 62 in there. And are you going to get the heater fixed? I can't imagine -7.
I could, because I came from back east. Joining us right now, senior analyst from Pro Football Focus, Steve Palazzolo. We want to talk to Steve about some NFL stuff. Steve, how you doing?
Doing great. I don't see the appeal to going to a game and sitting in the -7 degrees. I enjoy my couch. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was following you on Twitter today, and you're obviously paying attention to this game. Let me start with yesterday's Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game, Steve. Just so much to talk about. What were your impressions of that game? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
The first thing is actually just looking forward to Pittsburgh. What type of team are they going to have going to Denver? How hurt is Roethlisberger? How bad is the concussion for Antonio Brown? As far as the game, you know, Cincinnati made a run at the end, and I think you just saw the good and the bad of Vontaze Burfict. He makes the potential game-sealing interception. He has the big hit on Roethlisberger that knocks him out of the game, but also the personal foul that puts them into field goal range. It was just a microcosm of Burfict's pluses and minuses as a player, and really just a tough way for Cincinnati to go with two personal fouls setting up the game-winning field goal.
Do you think those minuses, and you didn't talk about Adam Jones, and he got the other 15-yarder in that sequence, do you think right. these things hurt Marvin Lewis's chances to stay in Cincinnati, and should they?
I mean, he's been as bulletproof as it comes, right? I mean, just putting a pretty consistent team out there the last few years, but not winning a playoff game. And I have to hand it to the Cincinnati organization for at least sticking with continuity, as across the league, every coach gets 2 or 3 years and then they're out. So I think you got to hand it to them. But at some point, you know, there's the playoff failures combined with this implosion. I don't want to say it's definitely going to, you know, be the end of him in Cincinnati, but I do think it hurts a lot more because of the way it all went down for his seventh straight playoff loss.
Steve, Hugh Jackson apparently just finished up a 5-hour interview with the San Francisco 49ers, and he currently apparently is meeting with the Cleveland Browns. How do you see that shaking out? And Cincinnati apparently in flux, whether they may or may not have a job.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because if Marvin Lewis does end up getting fired, I wonder if Hugh would just go to Cincinnati and stick with what he has from a quarterback standpoint. I think that's one of the biggest things when you're looking at all these jobs. What type of QB situation do they have? And it's wide open, obviously, in San Francisco. It's wide open in Cleveland. But I think with Hugh, the big thing with him is very impressive way that he's developed Andy Dalton. Was there for his, you know, this season was Dalton's best year. Really used a creative offense. Used all of their various playmakers in a creative fashion. And I think that's a big part of the appeal to Hugh Jackson. So it does sound like the Browns are a spot that he's very interested in, but I'm not sure exactly how it shakes out. But I do think that Cincinnati ends up becoming the wild card, because if Marvin Lewis is out, I do wonder if Hugh would look to that consistency, sticking with Dalton and staying with a stronger roster in Cincinnati.
Does Colin Kaepernick make the 49ers job more attractive or less attractive? And does it depend really on who that coaching candidate would be as to how that question would be answered?
Yeah, I think it depends on the coach. You know, I've been a big Kaepernick fan in the past, or at least I believed in the upside. I believed that there was enough there. I do think that his last couple of years, the lack of development does work against him a little bit. And I don't know how many believers there are around him. In him around the league, but I'm sure there's somebody that's going to say, look, with those tools, with the arm strength and the speed, we can do something with it. But I do think he's still lacking in just your every down quarterbacking instincts and flow within the offense. So I'd say it's more of a negative than a positive at this point, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody said, hey, I can fix that guy.
Steve Palazzolo joining us from Pro Football Focus. He's a senior analyst there. Steve, of all the jobs that were open, Cleveland, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Miami, the Giants, etc., where do the San Francisco 49ers fit in there? Because some of the local media I've seen out here has written that because of the issues with Jed York and Trent Baalke, you know, how they fired Jim Tomsula after 1 year, the parting with Jim Harbaugh, obviously, that it's not really a desirable job. How do you feel about that?
I'd say it's on the lower end, only because of roster strength. You know, just all of the retirements just really, really killed the roster. And we've got Anthony Davis, Patrick Willis, Borland, all the guys that in their prime ended up retiring. That's very tough to even foresee when you're building a team. And I think the Niners were already slightly on the decline as it was, and that just accelerated things. So I just think it's going to take a little time to get the talent back on the roster. And then when you look at the QB's position, when you compare it to somewhere like Cincinnati or somewhere like Miami, no Dalton, Tannehill, they're not the greatest QBs in the world, but it's at least something that you know you can build with, where I think there are too many question marks in San Francisco, too many question marks in Cleveland. The one thing that it has going for it, though, you know, I do think there's the history and the tradition, and there's something to, you know, coaching in San Francisco. And I think you can rebuild fairly quickly in this league, but it's going to take it's going to take a couple drafts. I think it's a couple drafts away from really replenishing the talent.
And as we've seen across the Bay, the Raiders able to replenish rather quickly with their draft picks. Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, all with impressive seasons. How did they rate out from a standpoint of just the raw numbers this year?
Yeah, so Mack was our top-graded edge defender. Just unreal season for him against the run, which is exactly what he did last year. He was our top run defender last year, was again this year. But he just added that pass rush prowess to his game, his ability to just create havoc off the edge. outstanding season for him. Derek Carr was one of our top 10 QBs. I just thought he made great strides after being one of our worst graded QBs last season. Comes back, makes big-time throws all season. Definitely needs to be more consistent, but just love the stride that he made. One of the most improved players in the entire league this year. So, a good spot for those guys. And I think Cooper, the potential is still there. He just dropped too many passes. And overall, we know he's a good route runner. I think he can get open at every level. Just has to shore up his hands, and he's a really nice draft pick. So, love the pieces that are in place in Oakland, and they still have more work to do, but it's definitely a good foundation.
What do you think about the Green Bay-Washington game later this afternoon? Apparently, it's 62 in Washington.
Balmy.
So you can run. You could run out there, and a little opposite from many.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's interesting how Washington's rolling right now on the offense. I think Kirk Cousins' play has really been elevated by having Jordan Reed down the middle and DeSean Jackson as a deep threat and Pierre Garçon. Whereas the opposite's happened to Aaron Rodgers. You have the best quarterback in football kind of brought down to earth without Jordy Nelson, without a consistent outside threat. So I think Washington has a much better chance in this game than I ever would have thought a couple months ago. But it's very tough to pick against Aaron Rodgers. I think he finds a way to make enough plays. And I do think Green Bay at least can match up with all of the weapons that Washington's throwing out there in the secondary.
Jordan Reed, a real standout season, a surprise season for some as a tight end. How did he grade out relative to some of the elite tight ends this year?
He was one of our top receiving tight ends. He was right there. I think it was number three or number four. He's such a matchup nightmare type guy for opposing defenses. Can line up out wide, can line up in the slot. They can put him in motion, pick up yards after the catch. And I really think when you look at some of the best offenses in the league, of course, New England with Gronkowski, we saw what Cincinnati has done with Tyler Eifert. We talked about Dalton's career year essentially coinciding with his emergence. And, Greg Olsen in Carolina with Cam Newton. So I just think Reed brings so much to that Washington offense because he can line up all over the place and defenses have to account for him.
That's Steve Palazzo of Pro Football Focus. Thanks a lot, Steve, for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That's Steve Palazzo from Pro Football Focus. Some interesting things to say right there. Hugh Jackson, we're probably going to get some word on him. I think, could be Monday or Tuesday, but you know how stuff leaks out. I could see something happening this afternoon or later tonight.
Nothing leaks out of Santa Clara, Steiny. That thing is watertight.
Well, I think it's in Cleveland, or Cincinnati, rather.
No doubt. I think it's going to take a little bit longer. Hugh's going to have a couple interviews today. The Cincinnati situation still remains unsettled until they come out and say definitively either way, then that job somehow is in flux. I think it's going to play out a little bit slower than you think.
All right. Also of concern, Tahiti is in Oceania.
Gotcha.
Can you name any other places that are in Oceania?
Fiji and New Zealand, I believe, would be in Oceania because Australia is a continent in and of itself.
Right.
New Zealand, I don't think, is a part of that, so they're also in Oceania. I would say that your various Samoa is there as well.
Okay.
American and regular Samoa.
I'll tell you what, the thing about Australia, Dibs, I don't know if you've looked at a map, but that outback, that takes up a lot of land area Australia.
Massive.
There's a lot of stuff in Australia where there's just not a lot going down.
Australia is about 80% desert, which is outback. It's, rough territory, I tell you.
It sounds like it. All right, you're listening to Dan Dibley and Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game. We'll be right back. We'll take some calls. All right. Love those horns. It's horns, right?
Those are horns.
What are some of those other instruments? Aguero?
Sergio Aguero.
No, the Aguero.
The great man city striker.
And you rub it up against the ridges of like a wooden object that looks like a bowling pin. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. He said, not knowing what the hell you're talking about.
If there's an instrument called a Aguero, I think it's G-U-I-R-O maybe.
Aguero.
You kind of...
Al Guido?
Rub a stick against a wooden object that kind of looks like a bowling pin or a stick. Bail me out on that text line, 95795.
So you're talking about
95795.
Rubbing a wooden stick against a foreign object?
Yes, and it makes like a clicking type sound. I'm still waiting on the text line crickets right now. Let's go out to Kevin in Merced. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Matt? What's up, Dan? How you guys doing?
Good, Kevin. Doing well. How you doing? I'm just enjoying this Seattle 10-9 ball game here at Minnesota.
Yeah, bar burner. Yeah, Dan, I wanted to get at you about the comment you made about Alex Smith probably wouldn't have took us to the Super Bowl. I just wanted to disagree with you on that. I agree with Matt that I think Harbaugh made a mistake. I was one of the few fans out there that did not like the change. I felt that Alex Smith was having one of his better years, and the defense doesn't get enough credit when you compare Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith. The defense was really carrying that team. When you look at the numbers, his quarterback rating and the passing for the Niners, even that Super Bowl year, was towards the bottom of the NFL. Yeah, and the defense was a top five defense. And I just think that, you know, Alex Smith being able to manage the game and being able not turning the ball over was a better suit for the offensive line that was big and built to run downhill with Frank Gore. Now you put in a guy with the gimmick offense and the read option, which, don't get me wrong, he had a few great games. But the NFL defenses catch up to that kind of stuff, and he's been exposed over the last two seasons now. And I really think I was mad at John Harbaugh for Harbaugh for making the change, because I felt that we were on our way to win a Super Bowl. And I just never been a fan of Colin Kaepernick and his baseball style delivery. He has happy feet, and he doesn't have functional movement in the pocket like a traditional pocket passing quarterback. And he panics in there, and I could see that. You know, as defenses started catching up to that read option, I could see that from day one. So I personally wish that they would have kept Alex in there at least for that year, and then maybe moved on. Because if he was good enough to start, he should have took Alex Smith's job in the preseason and off season. You know, kind of like
the concussion
boy in Seattle did. You know, with Flynn when he came in there and got all that money.
Right.
If he's good enough to start, he should have started and took it in the preseason, but he didn't. And I think Jim Harbaugh rolled the dice. He crapped out, and he set us back.
I disagree with that, Kevin. Thanks for the phone call. I wouldn't say you crapped out when you make it to the Super Bowl. And the defense was elite. They were the best part of that team. And there's a reason why Alex Smith has been dubbed as being a game manager. And I gave him the title of elite game manager. Everyone talks about elite quarterback. Well, he's an elite game manager, and you're seeing it now in Kansas City. He's winning these games not because of their offense, but because of that defense. That's why they've won 11 straight overall, because of an elite defense. And yeah, he was doing that in San Francisco, but Colin Kaepernick came in and made game-changing plays off the bench.
Yeah, I was at the game against Green Bay at Candlestick Park when Kaepernick ran for 180 yards and he passed for a bunch of yards. And it was impossible to watch that game and not think you weren't watching the quarterback of the future. I mean, the guy was just dynamic. Along with RG3 and Russell Wilson, they were talking about how those guys were going to change the game. They did for a year or so. The question now is Kaepernick even a functional NFL quarterback? That's what Hugh Jackson, I guess, if he's going to be the 49ers coach, is going to try to find out. But I don't know. It sounds like there's a lot of 49er fans that they just feel like Cap can't get it done.
I think it's a certain amount of split camp on that, especially when you look at this coming season. If you have your choice of Gabbert or Kaepernick, it's not that much of a clear choice, in my opinion. If you're going to run a typical pro-style offense, then Blaine Gabbert's probably the right fit. But if you hire Chip Kelly, or if you hire Hugh Jackson, coaches who like what Kaepernick can bring and like what he can do for you, maybe then he takes a couple steps forward. I think part of the problem with Colin Kaepernick the last year, if not year and a half, was the conversion of trying to make him this pocket passer,
right,
which he's not good at. He's not going to be able to do that.
I'm with you there.
He can't come up to the line of scrimmage and make the read and go first, second, third option and make that happen. He's a read and rip guy. Let him loose.
No doubt about it. Let's go to Rich in Concord. Rich, you're on 95.7 The Game with Dibley and Steinmetz.
And thanks for your time.
I've always wanted to say this. Turn that radio down.
Hello?
Yeah, you got to turn that radio down, my man.
I don't have it on.
Okay, well, go ahead then.
Go ahead then.
Sorry, guys. Diz, I want to hear some more South Park, too, man. Anyways, I want to comment on that Alex Smith stuff. I mean, 40 touchdowns, 70 picks. He had a horrible stats. I would not want to take him.
Really?
But,
you still believe in Kaepernick?
No.
We got to lose.
Yeah, that's it. We got feedback.
We
got
to lose, Rich.
Sorry about that, Rich.
By the way, Guido is a Latin American percussion instrument consisting of an open-ended hollow gourd with parallel notches cut in one side. It's played by rubbing a stick or tines, yes, sir, along the notches to produce a ratchet-like sound.
Ratchet?
Ratchet-like sound.
I thought ratchet sounded like, eh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's ratchet. Oh, it's a different ratchet.
So Guido, Guiro.
Here's
Guido.
A picture that my man Danny just sent me.
That's exactly what it looks
like.
Our
mutual friend, Dan. I say that, you don't know him.
DSM?
No, you don't. No, not that Dan. This is a Dan who listens to you on the radio. Big fan of yours.
Oh, really?
Big, big fan.
Nice, nice. So I'm watching the game yesterday, and John Gruden says that Alex Smith, wonder what the people in San Francisco are thinking. Did Harbaugh make a mistake? You know, here's the question I have for you, Dibs. As long as we're talking about the 49ers and their coaching search, et cetera, do you think Hugh Jackson's their number one choice?
Yeah.
The 49ers?
Yeah, I think that was leaked. Everything's leaked these days.
No,
if you're talking 49ers, Danny. No, it's not overblown.
Leaking's overblown.
It's not overblown.
Every organization leaks.
Well, that organization leaks at an alarming rate. You don't hear a lot of things out of Raider camp that are leaks, leak-related. 49ers, you heard late in the week, I think it was Friday, that Hugh Jackson is the number one candidate. So you get the sense that it's his job to take or to refuse.
All right, so apparently on Friday, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reported that Hugh Jackson's the number one choice for the 49ers. Yeah, all right, let me tell you a little bit about reporting and the newspaper and the information era. If you say Hugh Jackson's the 49ers' number one candidate, first of all, that doesn't mean anything because you're not saying something's going to happen officially. Secondly, I think you can interpret it as a self-serving report. Think about it. If the San Francisco 49ers end up hiring Hugh Jackson, all right, then, hey, Mike Florio can say, I was right. I was right. See, I was right, everybody. I knew it. He was the number one candidate. Well, when they don't hire Hugh Jackson, then he can say, all the 49ers, what an awful organization. They couldn't get their first choice. Nobody wants to coach there. They have to go to number two and three option. And we don't know if any of it's true.
Right, and to your point, if they don't go to Hugh Jackson, he can just say, well, he was the number one candidate. I wasn't wrong. It comes down to being right or wrong, and especially when we throw out according to sources, which is always my favorite, according to sources, what's your source? I mean, a lot of times it's a credible source when we say according to sources, but other times you can just pull it out of your wallet, so to speak.
Absolutely. I mean, you know what? I should have reported if I had an in for the 49ers, I should have reported that Chip Kelly was their number one choice. My source said, who's my source? Doesn't matter.
Right.
Chip Kelly was the number one. Oh, they're not going to hire Chip Kelly. I guess Chip Kelly told them to hit the pike. They can't hire Chip Kelly because he doesn't want to work for Jed York and Trent Baalke. I don't know.
You can throw a lot of things out under the umbrella of sources. Not to discredit Mike Florio, but to your point, I think Hugh Jackson is the number one choice. You have a team badly in need of an offensive makeover, control-alt-delete of sorts for that offense. So you want to bring in an offensive mind. Dirk Cutter from Tampa Bay was interviewed, but it seems that he might be staying put to get that job now that Lovie Smith has been fired.
Anthony Lynn, too? Wasn't that another one?
Yeah, I think that they might have brought him in as an offensive coordinator interview. You know, you interview him for the head coaching job under the guise of, you know, maybe you have an eye on him as an offensive coordinator. If you hire Hugh Jackson, maybe you bring him in as your OC. You never know how these things can go. But I think teams sometimes conduct interviews for more than one purpose.
I think you're right about that.
So you interview a position coach who's never been a coordinator. You interview him for the head coach, thinking in the back of your mind he might be a good coordinator.
And apparently Hugh Jackson was interviewed back in 2011 when the 49ers hired Jim Harbaugh. So they're saying that Jed York and Baalke at the time liked Hugh Jackson, but obviously Jim Harbaugh was the man they went with. All right, you're listening to Matt Steinmetz and Dan Dibley on 95.7 The Game, and we'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.